you can set up the game however you want, but if you're not using the ball well enough, teams are just going to burn you on the way back.
That's the caper we're in. Results aren't there. There's high turnover of staff and players, and that's the reality of it.
Most teams are going out there to get 4 points more than thinking, oh, we're going to put on a genuine show.
What I always say when we get a punishment session at 6 a.m. at the beach, yeah, we're getting the beach in, but we're losing the best part of our recovery with sleep.
There's one thing he learnt in footy is that pre-game speeches don't do much.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
And it's a very big welcome back to the Sanctum Chair this morning to our favourite man from the Collingwood Football Club, Taylor Adams. Tay, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
You ditched us a couple of weeks ago. You were busy. You had stuff on. You couldn't make it, which we were disappointed about. But it's been a month.
It's been a month, yeah. A long month.
A long month.
What's happened?
Well, we were worried because you got injured in that time and there was fears. Oh, no, he's done it again. They're saying it's a hammy, but we don't believe him because we don't believe him. But thankfully it was.
It was. It was a little niggly. It was really strange, actually. So I played that one game back after missing 11-odd games, and I copped a big hit against the Giants in my right hip, and my whole right side of my body sort of seized up a little bit, and I was getting a little bit of hamstring referral pain. So it wasn't like, it was really strange. I was had most of my strength, and I was able to run at about 80%. Mm. But as soon as I went faster than that, I started getting these zaps down my leg, and
it's not ideal.
Yeah, and that was seriously 5 hours before the game. So I woke up on Friday morning expecting to play and did a fitness test at about 1 o'clock and, was ruled out then.
That's not the first time that's happened this year, is it, that you kind of were very confident about playing and then very close to the game you've had to withdraw for different reasons? That must be tough. Is that tough to have that happen so late?
It is. It's really difficult. It was sort of a blessing in disguise to some degree because I was really, really sore in my back and my hip. So the right decision was to not play, and that's obviously the more difficult decision to make. But by the time it got to 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was exhausted. I hadn't slept properly. I'd been up to see the physios at 7:30 in the morning because I was really worried about it. And then went home, thought I was okay, then went back into the club to do a fitness test. So I hadn't prepared for the game as well as I usually would have. So to be ruled out at that point, it was bittersweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like it was the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be annoying that because you're ready to roll and then all of a sudden this thing comes along that gives you the Jimmy Brits. That's no good, but it would be more annoying if you're out of contract and no money left. You have signed a 5-year extension. Since we saw you, you've signed a 5-year deal. This must be very pleasing.
5 years, yeah. So I'm locked into the club until I'm 31 or 32.
You must like the place.
I do. I really enjoy the place. It was a pretty easy decision for me. Once I knew I was out of contract end of this year, we started having the conversation with the footy club throughout the year last year and sort of tapered off towards the end of the year, obviously, with finals and, the stuff happening throughout September and October. It was nice to have... We sort of agreed to it before Christmas and had to just tweak a few things leading up to throughout this year. And, I'm wrapped. It's obviously the place I want to be. I love the joint, love my teammates, love my coaching staff and... Yeah, couldn't see myself anywhere.
$8 million, Scotty. $8 million.
What's the phone call like when your manager rings you and goes, I've got five?
Yeah.
Because five's a lot.
Five's a lot.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine you go, I want to stay there, give me the longest possible. And you're probably, I don't know where this, you're probably thinking three's a good effort and we'll see how we go.
Yeah. Well, there was negotiation. No, we sort of thought, my view was I wanted to lock myself in long term.
Yeah.
Because there's no way I'm going anywhere else. So... it wasn't like I was asking for extraordinary amounts of money, and I was happy to be paid fairly so that we could create the best list that we possibly can have. And
so you take a little bit of a cut, but you get the 5 years.
I think on an open market, most players would go out there, and there might be teams lower down the ladder that would pay more for players.
They have to,
yeah. And that was something that didn't even cross my mind, to be honest. I'd never thought about that because I wouldn't have left. So I didn't tell the club that until
they didn't know that.
Leverage.
How involved are you in that process? Obviously, you've got a manager who takes care of the nitty gritty. Do you get updated on how things are going, or do you like to leave it alone?
Well, I sort of pushed it to the side throughout when we were playing, just because it didn't really matter to me at that point in time. But yeah, our list manager, Ned Guy, I've known him for a few years now, and you know, he's only been at the club for I think 2 years, but I've known him for a lot longer than that. We had open dialogue between just he and I, but most of it goes through your manager. There's a lot of, like, your manager has much more of an understanding of what you're worth and what looks good in a contract. And yeah, I put all my faith in him to get me the fairest deal possible.
So now you can plan buying the boat and the holiday house, and you can just start spending.
Invest.
Property, or are you a shares man?
Property at this stage.
How many you got?
I've got two at the moment. One I've just renovated, so it's I'm broke.
Well, 5 years.
Yeah, five years, I think that'll help
you get out.
Is that like renovating to keep it, or
we're living in it now.
Oh, right.
So it was cool. Yeah, it was a bit of an experience.
Yeah.
Really, really fun. But yeah, it took probably 11 months.
Now, yeah, it's full on.
Scotty and I were talking before about perhaps going on the block and
yes,
and being really capable at ringing people to come and fix stuff and not actually doing anything ourselves. What's your role in the renovation? Are you the ringer or the fixer?
Yeah, I'm not very handy.
So, you're on the phone.
Yeah, I'm on the phone most of the time.
Right. Well, you're on the field most of the time when you're out there for the Pies doing good things again. Just looking at the ladder and watching the teams in the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about you and the Magpies. Chances are, now there are obviously permutations that can take place. Top four might be out of the question. Might be off the table if things keep rolling the way they're rolling at the moment. Does that give you the Jimmy Brits? Are you a bit annoyed about that?
That's news to me.
Well, so you're a game behind Richmond, and they've got West Coast this week, which would be big.
Yep.
And you've got Adelaide, which will also be quite significant on Saturday.
Yep.
And the other teams are two games in front of you. So you're not going to catch them. Richmond's your only chance to catch for a top four spot.
Yep.
Yeah, they need to lose one.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think not really. Obviously, we want to finish top four. But, you know, we put ourselves in a position where we're a game behind top four position, and we've got two games left. So all we can do is go out there and win this weekend and then back it up the next week and try to get the next 8 points. I think the pleasing thing for us is the last 2 weeks we've sort of started to play the way we wanted to play and played throughout the first half of the season. And yeah, I think against any team, we're really competitive when we do that.
What's returned? Is it style or pressure? What sort of has come back in the last couple of weeks that you feel good about?
Combination of things. Our contest and pressure on the ball is back to where it was on the weekend. I think our pressure number was almost a record for us for this year.
This is by the numbers. Can you explain that to us, please?
It's a very high number.
So yes. Pressure number, to those who don't understand it, how do they measure it?
So we basically get a number at quarter time, half time, three quarter time, and it goes on a scale of 0 to 300 or something.
Yeah.
And anything around 200 is really good.
183 is the league average.
Yeah, so we aim for 200, and our number, I think, at quarter time, by memory, and I've only heard this on game day, was 229.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Or half time.
So how is it measured? It's tackling.
And this is a team measurement.
Team measurement. There's points for individuals and there's points as a team. So it's measured basically by how much pressure is put on an individual at any given point. So if they're kick marking the ball around and uncontested marks, your number will be close to zero.
Okay. Yep.
But if the ball is, you know, in transition, there's a lot of turnovers, there's a lot of tackles, a lot of pressure, a lot of errant kicks, that sort of thing, then your pressure number goes through the roof.
How do your boffins watch the footy and actually... I reckon they make it up.
Well, the team of champion data don't make anything
How
up.
Many people you are watching going, hang on, that's a pressure point.
I don't know how they do it.
Hang on.
I don't know how they do it.
I reckon some bloke watches and go, that's a pretty pressure-ish quarter. I'll give him 203.
It's not how it works, but it has come back for the Magpies. And I imagine... actually, the game was interesting on the weekend because it wasn't an overly attractive game, but you dominated pretty much midway earlier than the second term was on your terms. And then you let them kick four late when the game was over. You let them kick four in the last quarter. What does Bucks say about that? Considering the game was in control and you got it on your terms, but you need to sort of let it slip late. What does he say about that leading into a finals campaign?
Yeah, I think our leaders were probably more disappointed than what Bucks was. And we sort of spoke about that Monday morning first thing and addressed that as a leadership group, and then we decided on what way we wanted to review the game, and the conclusion we came to was to show edits of us doing it really well. So basically keeping Melbourne scoreless for almost two quarters, and then and then White broke down in the last quarter, and it was, you know, it was, we're completely out of shape, guys out of role, and our lack of pressure on the ball. So it was, we got, you know, they scored against us by doing things we knew they were going to do, try to get the ball through the corridor, and we went away from what was working for the first three quarters. And yeah, it's funny how it works. They scored against us.
So was it pretty obvious for you when you're looking at the reviews and people were like, yep, totally weren't doing what we were doing for the first three quarters?
Yeah, it's so easy to see, especially with behind the goals vision. There's absolutely nowhere to hide, and it's a great learning tool. And yeah, it's self-explanatory because the guys know the game plan so well, and you kind of know when you're out there, when you're out of position, and it almost like a snowball effect. When someone's out of position, then drag someone else out, then someone else out, and then all of a sudden you're doing extra work, and you're so fatigued that it just compounds the issue.
And why does it happen? I mean, I'm coaching at the moment with the Melbourne Vixens, and sometimes, you know, we come off and we think, you know what, we weren't doing what we'd agreed that we would do. And it's an interesting mentality because you know what it is. You've been doing it for three quarters. Is what shifts do you think in the mind of an athlete when you stop doing the things that you know you should be doing?
Yeah, well, I think it probably got to the 10 or 15 minute mark and we kind of put the cue in the rack a little bit. When you sort of go into self-preservation mode and think, we had a big game next week on the road and I don't want to hurt myself. Mm. Maybe that's something that might cross the mind of players.
Think you got the job done?
Yeah, that sort of mentality, which is not great, and that's why we addressed it first thing Monday.
That's how I started game, Scotty. The big game next week, don't want to hurt myself.
Already thinking about it.
Don't go too
out of trouble.
You talk about the review, though, the review process. You said before that you thought about, from a leadership perspective, how you wanted to review it. Yep. Do you take charge of that? Do you do the edits? How does that work?
Yeah. So we meet with Maxie, Nick Maxwell, on a Monday morning, the five of us, plus an emerging leader. This week it was Braden Maynard, which is always quite interesting. So then we spend half an hour with him and we sort of give our thoughts on the game and just discuss what we thought as players being out there. Usually there's a lot of dialogue that goes on via text messages or when we do recovery and that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Immediately after the game or on the Sunday following the game. So, you know, we come to that meeting with a fair bit of knowledge and we're sort of all on the same page. Then we go and take that to Bucks and we have a chat with Bucks and he sort of gives his feedback and what the coaches thought, and we sort of, yeah, combine what we felt out there and come up with the best way to review the game, keeping it as short and pointy as possible and making sure that we don't, you know, try to hit 10 or 15 points. It's just three or four things and make sure that we take the learnings from that and implement it in training.
So do you guys ever run those sessions out the front, talking through this, boys, this is what we did rather than Bucks?
Probably more than half the time, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Bucks is always up there doing something. Like he'll present something. Not always, but 85% of the time.
Yeah.
But it might only take him 5 minutes. The rest of the time, it's either done by someone from the leadership group or one of those emerging leaders, like a Braden Maynard.
Like a Braden Maynard, who's clearly a loose dude. What's
Braden bring? Oh,
he just sees the game differently, and I love it. He's one of the players that's matured most that I've seen in my time at a footy club, and he plays like that now. Like he's a real leader out on the footy field, and he's relied upon by his teammates. But if you said that to me 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when he first walked into the club, I would have laughed at you because he was just a hooligan.
But when you say that he's a hooligan, I like that. When he looks at it differently, do you enjoy that as a leadership group?
Yeah, it's
because
great.
It's a different kind of aspect on things?
Yeah, I think that what I'm trying to refer to there is just like his passion. And he just sort of says it how it is rather than like...
There's no filter
and there's no... He doesn't try to make it sound like he's a coach. It's just like... Yeah. This is what I saw. This is what I thought.
That
happened.
Bloke shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. So it's great to have players like that. And we've got a few of those guys in our both leadership group and emerging leaders group that bring a different style of learning to the team.
So after your meeting with Maxi, you go to Bucks. Bucks will say, because, you know, there's tactics, as the AFLW Coach of the Year will tell you.
Yes.
So Bucks will go, I'm going to spray him today, I've had enough. And you'll go, okay, we agree. Or you go, I think these blokes need a whack or cuddle. Do you know what I mean?
But
are you aware of which way he might approach it?
Yeah, but I've never heard it. He would never say that.
Yeah. I'd love if he said that.
I've never heard those words come out of his mouth. No, it's more like... It's more, this is what worked, this is what didn't work. Now let's see the evidence of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's methodical. It's not like, there's no emotion in it when it gets to Monday.
Stuff getting chucked and...
chairs being thrown.
Blighty, lights off, all that sort of stuff.
19 past 7. There's no lights off here at the moment. We are full bore today with Taylor Adams in the Inner Sanctum. From the Magpies, we'll come back after the break and continue the discussion on RSN 927.
Exclusive access, behind closed doors, The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
We've got to work out, you know, when you balance up how the forward line was structured, which was really, you know, Coxie out, Roughhead in, does that balance mean that we maintain some semblance of role? Does it mean that Chequers was able to play his natural game, which popped him a little bit more? You know, it's only a four-quarter sample size, but we're working out. But Chequers was good, you know, really strong aerial, runs all day, very hard to defend.
Chequers, we love Chequers, 23 past 7 on a Wednesday morning. Brady Myercheck, Nathan Buckley referring to there after his four snags against the Demons on the weekend, which was enough to get the Pies over the line. They head to Adelaide this week on Saturday at the Adelaide Oval. Very interesting affair that's going to be. Taylor Adams has joined us in the Inner Sanctum of the Magpies on the Breakfast Club. That forward line mix is changing a little bit just with personnel,
Tay.
When you're working further up the field and you're seeing those new faces who perhaps don't have the synergy and chemistry of your regular six, does it make you think about what you have to do?
Not necessarily. I think, we definitely had a different look in our forward line on the weekend, but we always, our structure didn't really change too much, and that was the whole purpose of putting Ruffy down there.
Yep.
We could have, you know, easily asked a Will Hoskin-Elliott or a Jeremy Elliott to try to play a little bit taller and sort of fill the hole that Coxie left. But then
it would be funny asking Jamie Elliott to play Mason Cox role.
Yeah, it would be funny, but he's
he's about 3 foot shorter.
He is, but surprisingly very good in the air for his size.
Yeah, small word he is.
It didn't feel any different to me. You asked Jordan Ruffhead that question, and he'll answer it differently because completely different role playing, that outlet sort of that guy that puts his hand up and just kick it on my head sort of set up, whereas, you know, he's used to jumping into guys' backs. So, but we had Steel Side Bottom down there. He's played last couple of weeks as a smaller forward and wing role, and he's played two great games. Obviously, we'd like to have Geordie and Jaden out there, but we're going to go without them for another week at least.
How is Jaden coming along?
Good. Yeah, no, he's
physically. And mentally, I suppose.
Is he back from his holiday that he got in trouble for having a break?
He's back. Yeah, that was very funny. training really hard. I said to him the other day that you'd have to be the fittest bloke in the AFL right now because he's been getting absolutely flogged.
Is he?
He's got 2 weeks left. I think he's got one more really big session to get through. And then his last week leading into the finals and that bye before the finals would be more of a taper-off week, make sure that he's mentally and physically fresh.
Now, the Crows, what's it like for a midfielder? You're coming up... The Crouch brothers are ball magnets, basically. Mm. How do you look going into a matchup against two guys who are just, you know, you play with players. They just get the ball. They're one of those. What's your mindset coming up against that type of midfield?
Yeah, they're funny. Like you look at, obviously, Tom Mitchell from last year.
Yeah.
The way we'll approach it, and we haven't had our meetings or anything yet, it's obviously there's one way to go is with a tag and try to completely negate their influence on the game.
Which you don't historically do much.
I don't think many teams are going that way necessarily. The other way is just to try to limit their impact on the game. So they might still get their 30 touches, but, you know, it's all the score involvements, inside 50s, you know, them hitting the score with themselves, all that sort of stuff you sort of want to take away from them. So making sure you keep them in tight in the contest and don't allow their spread to really impact the game.
But because they're so good at ball ups and throwings, would you stay closer to them rather than... Yeah,
definitely. And we did that with Clayton Oliver on the weekend, who is one of the better clearance players in the game. Working with two good ruckmen, Sam Jacobs and Maxi Gawn, you've got to be really wary of those sort of players. And Pendles did the job on Clayton Oliver on the weekend and did a really good job around stoppage and was able to stop his influence, because you give someone like that four or five clearances in the first quarter and you never know, it could lead to 20.
We had Big Maxi in here yesterday from the D's, who was tagging Brody. I imagine you probably didn't work on that in the build-up. Max Gawn was going to.
Did you even know that?
Max Gawn was going to tag Brody. Like, he tagged him.
I did not know that.
He tagged him.
That is incredible.
we thought so.
Did Brody know that?
No, that was not mentioned. That's the first time I've heard of that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Tagged him.
Wow. Okay. Well,
the two best.
Except Brody didn't say much.
Does that mean he didn't?
No, Brody doesn't say much.
He didn't notice or what?
Well. Ruckman's the last sort of the last role in a team, maybe apart from a fullback or full forward, where the legitimate one-on-one contest around the ground happens.
Yeah,
all midfielders and even high backs and high forwards and wingers, you almost play on four or five blokes throughout the day.
Mm.
It's not like, all right, I'm starting next to Clayton Oliver today, I'm not going to leave your side, and every single time the ball goes, near one of us, we're going to be in each other's back pocket. Whereas Ruckman, you sort of do have that because of the height difference. It's not like Brody can hand Max Gawn over to me. Yeah. He'd run me straight to the goal square and take a mark. So you'd
probably miss it, though.
He
would admit that. That's why I say that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Like the fact that they called it a tag intrigues me.
Mm.
But yeah, Brody's very good.
Intrigued Max. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so is Max. Just quietly. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, exactly. We're
a bit
right.
surprised about that.
Yeah, we obviously spoke about his influence and trying to
stop him
dominating. Well, Brody did a good job.
Yeah. He just ran round.
You mentioned Geordie before. And Darcy, I was reading the paper today that he'll be back perhaps next week. Are you confident that Geordie will be right for the finals? That everything's okay?
Yeah.
Right.
That's all been cleared up. Yeah, because I know there's been talk about the re-injury, but he's in a good place now, and he's just got to get him to a point where he's not going to break down again.
So it's an interesting dynamic kind of into that first week of finals. A lot of names coming back potentially into the team.
Yeah, you look at obviously Stevenson, Moore, DeGoey, Daniel Wells is thereabouts now. Mm. Sort of put his hand up in the last fortnight, which is incredible. Obviously our list... touch wood, he's starting to get some health back there, so that it obviously helps.
Mm.
Now, it's nice to have your better players out there, but does it raise concerns about their ability to get through a finals campaign, not having that load of work and play?
Yeah, I think that's what I was referring to before in terms of Geordie. We've got to make sure that he's almost bulletproof.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why we won't rush him back. Whether it's next week or the first week of finals, whenever he pulls on a Collingwood Guernsey to go out there and play, he will be 100% fit, and there'll be no doubt that he can complete a game of footy.
And Big Mace, what sort of patient is he? How's he go when he's not playing?
I haven't seen him yet. He's been laid up at home. It's a bit of a weird one, wasn't it? Poking the eye to end your season's not ideal, but I think he's doing pretty well. I've spoken to him a couple of times, and I've got to pick up a burger for him this week and take it over to him because he lives around the corner from me. So I said I'd bring him a big Texan burger. Big southern fried chicken.
Big southern fried chicken burger. Okay. Just one. He looks like a man who needs two or three.
Yeah, mate, might be two.
Well, make sure you get yourself fueled up. It's going to be a big game Saturday, 4:35. Check your local guides at the Adelaide Oval when the Pies travel across to take on the Crows. A big one for your boys. Taylor, big one for you. Go get them.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you back in the studio. Taylor Adams with us in the inner sanctum of the Magpies on The Breakfast Club. 29-8 after the break. Mark Stevens from Channel 7, the main news hound in footy, will be joining us for all the latest news in footy. Join us on The Breakfast Club.